One of the women said that his men had ridden all the way around the lake, chasing Beric Dondarrion and slaying rebels. We weren't rebels, Arya thought. We were the Night's Watch. The Night's Watch takes no side. Sir Aemry had fewer men than she remembered, though, and many wounded. I hope their wounds fester. I hope they all die. Then she saw the three near the end of the column. Rorg had donned a black half-helm with a broad iron nasal that made it hard to see that he did not have a nose. Biter rode ponderously beside him, on a destrier that looked ready to collapse under his weight. Half-healed burns covered his body, making him even more hideous than before. But Jaqen H'ghar still smiled. His garb was still ragged and filthy, but he had found time to wash and brush his hair. It streamed down across his shoulders, red and white and shiny, and Arya heard the girls giggling to each other in admiration. "I should have let the fire have them. Gentry said to. I should have listened. If she hadn't thrown them that axe, they'd all be dead. For a moment she was afraid, but they rode past her without a flicker of interest. Only Jaqen H'ghar so much as glanced in her direction, and his eyes passed right over her. "He does not know me," she thought. "Arry was a fierce little boy with a sword, and I'm just a grey-mouse girl with a pail." She spent the rest of that day scrubbing steps inside the Wailing Tower. By evenfall, her hands were raw and bleeding, and her arms so sore they trembled when she lugged the pail back to the cellar. Too tired even for food, Arya begged Wheeze's pardons and crawled into a straw to sleep.
"Wheeze," she yawned, "Dunson, Chiswick, Polliver, Raff the Sweetling, Tickler, and the Hounds of Gregor, Sir Aemry, Sir Ilyn, Sir Meryn, King Joffrey, Queen Cersei." She thought she might add three more names to her prayer, but she was too tired to decide tonight.